WildTalkRadio.com. Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
It's just a man. What the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
It's a new day, yes it is!
It was a new day of some sort. Yes, it is. This is the Raw Post Show. Presented as always by MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211 chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Show by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use credit card Rockstock for Lin's and Warden Fortnite Dom Shop when you buy all the new battle passes, the cruise, the Spider-Man's well, it's probably Spider-Man at some point. Snoop Dogg's, M&M's, and more, because hashtag epic partner. I'm the producer, that's Lindsay Ward.
They started this season off with a bang. We had drama, we had breakups, we had surprises, we had all the things on this show.
It was
a perfect follow-up to Survivor Series,
which we'll talk about Thursday on the rack. But Monday Night Raw had a lot going on. And we're going to start with the biggest story of them all. Adam Pearce was in the ring to celebrate 10 years of the New Day. We had balloons, photos, championships, bootios, pancakes, and more as he brought out the New Day. They had the crown, they had the robe, they had everything. Pearce got everyone to go New Day Rocks. Wood said getting to this point is more than they could ever dreamed of. Wood said they want it to thank everyone. Kofi's like, it's been a hell of a ride. He said, never in his wildest dreams would they have imagined everything they accomplished, and they couldn't have done it without the fans. And fans were chanting for Big E. They were like, we miss him too. Wood said that what they were all about to tell him, though, is not the fault of the fans. They have nothing but love for the fans. Kofi said he and Wood spoke, and after what happened between them last week, it was something we just had to talk about. And out came Big E, to the surprise of many. It's been almost 4 years, they said, since he's been on Raw. I feel like it's been probably three, but we'll go with four. Big E told, because he won the title in 2021 and got injured in 22. It doesn't matter. Big E told the fans he can't thank them enough. He said we wish he was there under better circumstances. He said seeing Kofi and Woods bickering and saying some of the most hurtful things imaginable to one another hurt his soul. Big E said that they only had each other when they started a New Day. He said Kofi was considering retirement and he and Woods were close to being fired. Big E recalled Kofi and Woods being at the hospital making sure he was okay on the worst night of his life. He spoke about being in neck brace when he held Kofi's child for the first time. He talked about, you know, having Woods cry on his shoulder when he won King of the Ring. He said what they built means a lot to the people, and it means a hell of a lot to him. So until I am medically clear to return, I'm going to remind the two of you exactly who you are. And that he would be there every week to be their manager. And then as the fans chanted for New Day, Woods goes, but now you want to come back? You watched this fight You watched this fight for months? Go ahead.
Was just like, nah.
After you watch us fight for months after months, after you watch us argue to the edge of a cliff, and the last thing left to do is jump, now you want to come back? You left us, E. I broke my neck, said E. Kofi's like, yeah, you broke your neck. So what? So did Austin. So did Kurt. So did Edge. They broke their necks and came back. Those three had surgery. You didn't even have surgery. Which says those three didn't even have the people to come back to. You had us to come back to. You were big and strong as Z, and because you never actually had the surgery, you're actually telling them you couldn't come back before them? Big E said he's been doing his best. I'm getting this and this and this, all this and everything worked on. Wood said, I tore my Achilles tendon off the bone and actually needed surgery. And I was back in 9 months for you, E. King said if E actually cared about them, he would have been back a long time ago. But E, you chose your new life, your new girlfriend, even your new stepchild over them. Do you even realize the burden that you've become? Woods complained about the fans everywhere saying they miss E. Well, we also miss E, but E didn't miss us. Kingston said their philosophy from the start was about the brotherhood. He said it was we before me. Kofi said, broken neck or not, Big E chose himself over him and Woods. Woods E told Big E to stop teasing these people and speak the truth. You're never going to be medically cleared. Woods told E to get the hell out of our ring and get back behind the desk where you belong. Woods told E that they would call him if they needed him. Big E was protesting and you're going to do this. This is how we're going to do it. This is what's going to happen. He asked for a hug. Kingston straight arms him and says, nope, not going to happen. Like, this is it. This is what we're going to do. He leaves. Kofi and Woods look at each other. They shake hands and it's the two of us now. Bravo. Fantastic. This was awesome. Great storytelling. They had you. Everyone thought they were going to be a split. And I told you he was going to bring them back together. And he did.
He
brought them back together. Just without him.
At the cost of himself, he was sacrificed for it, but they did bring him back. He did bring them together. That is very, very true. This whole segment saved this storyline, this long, convoluted, weird, strange storyline that they've been doing, right? That nobody, I shouldn't say nobody because it was mainly me. I didn't understand what was going on with it half the time. Like all the stuff with the Final Testament and like everything else. You're like, what are they doing? Why are they doing this? What is going on? All leads to this. And this single moment, like just when Woods and Kofi both turned on E, right? When they both did it, it was that gasp moment. Because it's like, oh my God, they're going to do this. They're going to turn on E. Oh shit. They're going to turn on E. And this is how they come back together, is they're going to be reunited in their bitterness towards E, which is horrible. And I love it. Like this is super, super good, super well done. And it kind of did a really good job of addressing a couple different things with New Day, right? The first one being E and sort of his status, right? Because it's, you know, they've now definitively said, at least for the time being, he can't come back. He's not coming back. He's out, right? And so all he's going to be doing is doing the announcing. Now, it could set up for eventually him to come back in a few, you know, depending on how he is, but I just don't think that's going to happen. But it was a good way to sort of like definitively put a pin in that and say, okay, all right, this is done. Stop hoping for it. It's not going to happen. We're drumming him out of the group. That's it. It's done.
Yeah.
And then it was a great follow-up to what they did last week in terms of Woods and Kofi having words. And it's like when you have a group that's been together for 10 years and you have them go through everything that they're going to go through, they have spats, right? And that's what this is. This is a spat. But the fact that you had, like, you did the heel turn in this way, and I love the symbolism of them all wearing black and white in the ring, because normally New Day is super duper colorful and it's a hugely colorful background behind them, but they're all in black and white or shades of gray. They're all monochromatic, which was a really, really nice touch. I don't know how planned it was, but it was a really great touch. to kind of symbolize that the New Day is now no longer this bright, happy, colorful, cheery thing. It's this dark, eerie, scary thing, right? Because they're Kofi and Woods are just pissed. But yeah, this was like just the audacity moment of them turning on E and sending E away. And it's like, oh, how dare you? How dare you do that? Like instant, just instant. It's one of those great moments of wrestling where you're just like instantly like, okay, all right, y'all can just F off because that was rude. But yeah, I loved everything about this. This was a fantastic opener. And what I really loved about it was this did not go the way these segments typically go, right? Where you have Kofi and Woods and they're kind of on edge and they're kind of like they've been fighting and bickering and, oh, are they going to get along? I don't know if they're going to get along. Can they hold it together for the dinner, you know, in terms of like getting together and like doing the thing for the 10-year anniversary? Can they hold on? And then you have like Big E come out and he tries to bring them back together and then somebody turns on somebody else, right? And beats up the other two and then they stand tall over the other two, right? And that's the typical heel turn that we see in these kinds of things. And that's sort of what you're walking into this expecting for, like a Woods or potentially a Kofi. And that's not what happened. And I love that that's not what happened. Because it's like, okay, right, you had them both turn. That's interesting.
Yeah, so a few things. One, it took a lot of roads to get here. There were a lot of changes along the way, but I think this was always the end goal. Because if you remember, they were going to try to replace E with Odyssey, and well,
that
didn't quite work, so they had to make some adjustments along the way. That's where the whole Karrion Kross stuff kind of got dropped, and he was celebrating on Twitter. By the way, speaking of Twitter, because a couple things. One, there's an article that Big E penned. It's on his Twitter. He talks about his life, the struggles and everything of celebrating the New Day and all these different things about, you know, talked about having found, you know, love and stuff, and told the story about meeting Mia and sister and how they were flirty, but then they kind of had a first date at Tez's and Bianca's Hulu premiere, and then which he only could attend because he had a broken neck and how the stars aligned. So that's fantastic. It's worth a read. Go find it if you can. It's on his Twitter. It's on the Wild Talk Radio Twitter as well. At Wild Talk Radio, we retweeted it earlier. You can read that. And two, he met Big E. Big E met Mia Yim's sister, who he's now engaged to. She went on Twitter afterwards and just roasted Woods and Kofi for holiday dinner. So that is also fantastic. But no, they told the right story. They putting an edge to the New Day. This is a different style of New Day. As you mentioned, they're not happy-go-lucky. They're now bitter because they have every right to be bitter.
Mm-hmm.
What was once their pride and joy, what was the power of positivity, is no longer there because it's gotten them so far, but it can only take you so far. And it took them as far as they could, and now it's been a while since they've had success, so now they don't have to lean on the past. It's time to start a new day for them. And I'm excited to see where the heel turn goes. I expected to turn to championships. Lance goes, I'm into the heel turn from Kofi Woods, but kind of bummed that Woods didn't get a singles run. He's not a singles wrestler. He doesn't, with the roster they have and how they're positioning singles talent right now, he doesn't stack up against the top tier. Can he go with all of them in the ring? Yes. But from a character standpoint, the way they're building their characters and stars right now, he's not in that position. So him being, Kofi and Woods being healthy and going to have a real heel tag run together, I think that's the best spot for them going forward. It sucks he won't ever get that run. It's just where they are in their careers.
His strength has always been tag team. He found that spot, he found that niche, and it worked for him. And would I like to see a Xavier singles run? Yes, but the problem is to Rock's point, if you throw him in there, he's just gonna get lost in the shuffle. He's never going to get to the main title, and that's part of the problem. Is put him where his strength is, keep him where his strength is, and eventually you could build him into a credible singles competitor, like they've done that with the New Day before. But right now, especially turning him heel, and having him go in a completely new direction put him in a place where he's going to be strongest. And this is where he's going to be strongest. This is where he will perform his best. And this is where he and Kofi will be able to shine. Because yeah. like the problem is with both of them turning, it's now, well, if you have them both turn and then they both go their separate ways, they're still on the same roster. They're still going to encounter each other. So do you have them find each other? Do you have them just kind of avoid each other? Like, what do you do? Because, like, the issue could be that, like if this were the Vince days, I have little doubt that Xavier would be made a lackey of, like, the Final Testament or something, and he would be stuck in that group, and then he would be lost equally in the shuffle. So Woods could still get a singles run at this point. There's a better chance of it with them going down this path, but if it doesn't happen, I'll be sad about it, but I also won't be mad. Because yeah. I know that this is his best chance in terms of how they're booking the product, how they're presenting the product, especially right now. When Raw goes back to 3 hours potentially on Netflix, every door will be open. But right now, for 2-hour format for another 3 or so weeks, this is where he needs to be.
So that was the New Day. Other things happened on the show, including we had backstage stuff with the Judgment Day. Liv was talking how they all agreed Baylor was going to stay away from Damian Priest, and Baylor said they did. But Dom couldn't get the job done like he was supposed to, so he decided to take care of it by himself. Baylor said if Morgan had listened to him, she may have not lost at War Games. Baylor said Morgan has to defend the Women's World title against Io at Saturday night's main event. And there's a lot to focus on. Morgan said she and Raquel focus on damage control, and then added that she hopes Baylor knows what he's doing. Baylor said he knows what he's doing, and he showed off the tag titles and said Judgment Day wins when everyone listens to him. Morgan asked Dom to keep an eye on Baylor because she and Raquel had a match to take place in, which was them taking Liv and Raquel taking on Io and Kyrie. Good match. Liv and Raquel get the win, but things were not done. Rhea Ripley returned to save the day at the end. But she then went eye first into the announce table, toe-to-toe with Raquel. There was also a segment, I think, I don't know if it aired. She's still coming for the title.
The only thing I didn't like about this was Raquel's outfit. I'm sorry. Girl tried something. No. No, honey, no. No, 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 no. Just no. I'm sorry. And it's not even that it's bad. It's just very unflattering for her in every way. Like, she's a beautiful woman, and I feel like she should be, you know, dressing herself such. And this, I feel like, was a miss. Like, and that was just very distracting. It was distracting at Survivor Series, and it was distracting tonight because they were all wearing their Survivor Series gear. But yeah, all of this was really good. The feud between Rhea and Liv continues. We'll have kind of Raquel get mixed up in the shuffle. Io's going to get involved as well. So yeah, all of this is leading to good places.
Yeah, Liv and Rhea is the end goal, but injecting her every time with Liv is overshadowing the match between Liv and Io. I mean, a little bit, but still, Io's getting the shot, and you'll have a good spotlight on, Saturday night's main event. The Intercontinental title tournament kicked off. Dakota Kai defeated Katana Chance and Shayna Baszler. I guess Shayna forgot her gear or something. I don't know what deal was with just wrestling in jeans, but here we were. Dakota looked really good. She looked healthy in the ring for the first time in a while. And in a single spot. This was good. Dakota got the win. She worked really well in this match. It was nice seeing her get her own singles entrance, getting a chance to be a singles wrestler for the first time in a long time, where it was like a focus on her being a single wrestler. Good stuff.
Very good stuff.
Peter Doon lost to R-Truth. There was a segment backstage where they're still complaining about Butch. R-Truth got the roll up after fans were chanting Butch at Peter Doon. So there was that. Yeah, that was fine.
They're building a feud. They're doing a thing. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, it was good to see Dakota get a reaction as well. Yeah, that is for sure. Backstage, Gunther was being interviewed. Finn Balor quickly interrupted. He told Gunther he owed him for helping him beat Damian twice. Gunther said he didn't know Balor anything and never wanted his help. He needed to beat Priest by himself, for himself, and Balor took that away. Dom kind of was putting up two fingers a bunch of times. Gunther admitted it was assumed it was because Dom's, you know, why he was so confident. Why were you so confident? And he assumed because Dom scored a victory over Priest, unlike Finn. And then he told Gunther told him he was going to have a chat with Adam Pearce, which led to a match between Gunther and Dominic. Gunther ended up getting the win. Finn Balor attacked Gunther, left him laying in the middle of the ring. Dom was smiling. They were all smiling. And then it was revealed that it will be Finn Balor versus Gunther for the World's Heavyweight title at Saturday Night's Main Event. And Pierce will be talking to Finn Balor also next week about the other championship he has to defend. This is all good.
This is fantastic. I enjoyed all of this tremendously. Like, again, we're just building. We're coming out of Survivor Series and we're rolling right into WrestleMania season, which it's like, yes, let's go.
And that's still 4 months away. WrestleMania is 5.5 months away. 5 months away now. Mm-hmm. Still got plenty of time. We had a little bit of setup between with Karrion doing a promo, setting up an 8-man tag team match against the Wyatt Six next week on Monday Night Raw.
We're going again. We'll see. I don't know. I worry about the Wyatt Six. Like, I know we'll get the 3 hours back and they'll, like, have them rolling again. But, like, I feel like they've kind of lost a step or, like, a little bit of momentum because there's not... They don't have the room or the space to really do what they want with them. So they've kind of been like keeping them off TV. And like just the way that the Gable feud ended when it ended was just really unfortunate because like they went to 2 hours like almost directly after that. And then like we haven't just seen them much and they haven't really been doing a lot with them. And they've kind of kicked off this feud with the Final Testament. And they're doing things with it, but it's like, I wish they were doing more. And my worry is that they're like, okay, all right, we did the thing with Gable and we got the reaction we wanted and now they're just people, right? And they've kind of stopped telling the story.
I think once they get more time, they'll be able to tell more of the story. And I think being on Netflix, they'll be able to do more stuff. They'll have room to breathe it and try some stuff. Going back to the Finn thing, I don't think it's the same night because you got 2 hours on NBC? Or is it three? Whatever it is. I don't think you can have him wrestle twice, but I think he may defend the title in 2 weeks. Then that Raw, the following Saturday Night's Main Event. Or 3 weeks, whatever it is. I think that will be what happens. I think they set up the future. I don't think it's going to be that, because you got to get enough. You got three matches announced. If it's 2 hours, you probably can fit one more, and I don't think you put Finn in there twice. I think you try to get Roman or Punk or a segment with one of them on the show because they've been promoted. I know Roman's been like advertised kind of in some of the clips and stuff. So you got to at least get a segment in with them. So I don't think you have the time for that.
No. We'll see, though. We'll see how they figure all that out.
And they also got to get it would be War Raiders versus Finn and JD probably on Raw in 2 weeks. If I had to guess, it would be the 16th. Yeah, I think that's what it would end up being. Trying to make sure I covered everything there. Got that taken care of because there's one other. Yeah, we got everything covered until this other big story, because this is what kicked off Monday Night Raw. CM Punk opened up the show. Told everyone it was sold out. He said the last time fans saw him on Raw, he said he wasn't sure about his future coming out of Hell in a Cell. He said he was fresh off a potential career-ending injury at Hell in a Cell and then wanted to hear it War Games. You know, could have been a potential career-ender in War Games. But he's feeling a lot better than he did coming out of Hell in a Cell. He said he put things aside and did some personal business for his friend Paul Heyman. He said he stood on the middle rope and pointed to what the future holds. Could you not see it? I could see it, but can you? And it's where the WrestleMania sign would be. He knows what the future holds. Mm. He said there are different roads that could take you there, and there's different ways to finish your story. Talked about the Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber. He said he has a favorite who we can call in as well. He told the fans to come along for a journey, and then out brought Seth freaking Rollins. They had a stare down. It was very dramatic camera shots. Like, Punk turned his back the entire time and then kind of slowly turned to face him. That was really good.
They Rollins stayed on opposite side of the ring.
Yep. Rollins said he'd been thinking a lot and determined that he should have knocked Punk's ass out a year ago when he returned to WWE. He regretted not doing it every single day for the past year. He said a lot has gone in his way over the last year. He said Punk got hurt. He had to defend titles to defend and a bloodline to take down. And he said the last time he saw Punk, he was close to taking a shot, but he had pity for him because he was just coming out of Hell in a Cell. Rollins said having pity for Punk was a mistake. He said that seeing Punk stand triumphant next to Roman Reigns made it clear to him that it was exactly time to rectify his mistake. Rollins said, "There's nothing in our way between me and you. No one was holding us back, and the only thing between them was air and hatred." And he has a feeling in his gut that this would be the night that he knocks Punk on his ass. Punk told Rollins that he talks too much and he doesn't listen. He said, "I put things aside, all the personal stuff aside. You don't listen." Rollins was champion 6 months ago. Now he had something, and that's what he had something he wanted. But now you have nothing. He said he knows where he's going. I know what's in my future, and kid, you ain't it. They got face to face a little bit. Rollins said, "You were thinking about me for 6 months, but I haven't thought about you at all." Punk said he has things to do in this business, told Rollins to stay out of his business. Rollins said Punk talks too much and doesn't listen enough. This is my business. He shoved CM Punk to the mat, and then they started to fight. And it was not a wrestling fight. They went to throw hands like real people throw hands. Jay and Sammy ran out, pulled them apart. They were still jawjacking. Rollins was challenged to get in the ring, and they were all still pulling them apart. Rollins said, "Ask Punk if he's his business now." They were still pulling and shoving. "You too, Jay," Rollins said. "Run along to Roman." Zayn gets very angry at Seth Rollins. He doesn't get to talk to Jay like that. Rollins said Sammy was right. He said he was pissed and shouldn't have said gone there. But Jay's family, what's your excuse? Because you're not a family. Fans started chanting Sammy Uso. He and Sammy are closer than Zayn has ever been with Roman or Jay. Rollins said he spoke about how they came up together. We did all these things. Sammy said he didn't want to team with Punk. He said he didn't want to team with him, but he asked to help. But you know who I asked to help? I asked you to help. Not once, but twice. Sammy said they wouldn't have teamed with him, with Punk, but Rollins is just too damn stubborn. Rollins said Zayn wanted him to team with Reigns so that Monster could retain his power. Sammy told Rollins that he created the Monster 10 years ago when you put the chair in his back. Sammy told Rollins not to act like his hands weren't totally clean. Rollins like, "I understand what happened. I know I have my part in chair shot. Sorry what started the motivation for the Tribal Chief. I've apologized." But Sammy could also look in the mirror because he did the same damn thing to Roman Reigns. Rollins said he didn't blame Sammy for it because Reigns is the scum of the earth who treated Sammy and Jay like crap. Rollins said Reigns has not changed. Rollins, if Reigns apologized to him or Jay or shown any hint of remorse, then maybe he would have done it. But Rollins said Sammy is just gullible and being stupid. Sammy said Rollins is angry and has a lot of frustration in him, and if he wanted to get him out of the system, they could meet in this ring later tonight if that's what Rollins wants. And he's like, "If that's how you want it, fine by me." Thoughts?
I try a meeting. This was all fantastic. This was so, so good. Like, just the intersection of everything, the history being brought up, you know, just all of it. All of it was so good. Like, just the fact that WWE has continuity and they remember shit like this. Like, God damn, bless you, Hunter. But yeah, I loved all of this. And I kind of really love how they're writing Sammy. And the fact that they've been giving him a backbone, right? And he's been getting more and more and more of that backbone. And just his part in this whole thing between Rollins and Punk and sort of his interjection into this, it was just so good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fact that you have sort of like all three men walking a line, you know, where they're not quite good guys, but they're not quite bad guys, but they're switch hitting depending on what they need to do and what story they're trying to tell, and just all really well executed. And like the cinematography in this and how they did all this was just like, God, it was beautiful.
You set up more of Rollins and Punk for the future. You weave Sammy into the story. Jay's in the story. You're telling the next chapter in that story coming out of all the bloodline stuff, and that's all still tied together. So everything's not falling apart there. More about this stuff in a second. There was one other segment. It was Bron Breakker was interviewed. Ludwig interrupted, basically he talked about how he was close to taking the title. And then Braunberger said, you know, Kaiser, you know, he held his own for the match, but you'll never hold the title. But he should just look at getting out of Gunther's shadow quickly because Gunther's stock is plummeting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Interesting stuff there. But yeah, so Jey Uso was attacked backstage. By who? Who knows for now?
We don't know.
But your main event was Sami Zayn versus Seth Rollins. Sami kind of knew, and it was the guy in the ring. Because he told Adam Pearce that. So Sami and Seth had a match. Sami, it was a good match. Sami had a chair and was going to go attack Seth Rollins with it. Because, you know, for attacking Jey. And Rollins like, I didn't do it. I didn't do it at all. Go ask Punk. Zayn tossed the chair aside, got caught in a cradle, got pinned. Rollins told Zayn that he loves his heart, but he needs to start using head. Rollins left the ring. And then from behind, Drew McIntyre returns with a Claymore kick right upside the head of Sami Zayn to end Monday Night Raw. Drew's back.
Hi, Drew. We missed you. Welcome back. How have you been? Everything good? Everything solid? Good. This was all fantastic. I have no complaints about this at all.
Yeah.
Like none. Absolutely none. Like, no notes. Nothing. Like, the match was absolutely fine. Stunning. Like, you know, and then you have Drew come back, and it's like, it's almost like Punk being back summoned Drew back, where he's like, oh, okay, the schmuck is back? Okay, all right, I guess I gotta come back. You know, and it was just like, there's no explanation for Drew being there other than he's just pissed and he's bitter, and we're just going to continue the Drew McIntyre villain arc, which, again, is completely fine. Like, Drew McIntyre in this villain era, let's go. Let's do it. He's doing some of his best work he's ever done right now. Like, the whole story with Punk, everything they did, like, yes, chef's kiss. Let's do it. Like, this was such a good show, especially for a 2-hour show.
It didn't even occur to me that not only would Rollins be upset with Sami and Jey for teaming with Roman and Punk, but would also piss off Drew. Yeah, my only gripe I would say is that if Drew attacked Jey, he should have been knocked out. I mean, it was the minor attack was fine. You knock something over on him, and you kind of don't see it. Maybe he didn't do it. Who knows? All signs lead to Drew being the one who did it. But yeah, no, they told the right story. They weaved everyone back in. Now we're getting. You can tell we're getting to the end of the year. People had some time off to heal, some rest. Now we're getting your big players back. We got Rollins back on television. We got Punk back on television. We got Drew back on television. So that should liven up Monday Night Raw a little bit because it's been missing a little bit of star power with everyone taking time off to heal and stuff like that. Coming out of the Bad Blood Hell in a Cell matches and Seth just needing casual time off to heal his injuries. It was a nice way. We have more people on television, more big stars as we're getting closer and closer to for the series finale of Monday Night Raw on the USA Network, leading to its premiere on the USA on Netflix coming on January 6th. So everyone's coming back. John Cena's getting ready to return. Things are about to be cooking. We're about to be cooking all over WWE Monday Night Raw going forward.
We are on the road, or we're getting ready. We're on the on-ramp to WrestleMania.
We're getting set to
We're getting
to
ready
Rumble,
to gear up.
The road to the Royal Rumble and the WrestleMania season and all that fun stuff.
And it feels like it's going to be an exciting one. Like, the fact that they've given everybody time to heal, time to kind of go away, get themselves in a good place, to be ready for what's coming, because they know that, like, once January hits, it's going to be pedal to the floor. Everybody needs to be in top form because they have to perform. They have to show up. They have to show out. And they can't do that if people are like beat up or not where they need to be. So the fact that they're using this time where it's like, okay, it's the end of the year. Does it suck that we're not doing as much as we want to? Yes. But, you know, once we get into January, we will be ready to go. And so I love that they've done that, that they've let their kind of their top people go away and do what they need to do to come back. Right.
Yeah.
And not just worn them down to the point that they do get legitimately injured and then they're gone for like a year and then they miss like the whole launch of Netflix and everything else. So I love that attitude that it's like, hey, if you're hurt, go ahead, go away, you know, go heal yourself, come back better, we're good to go.
With that, this has been the Raw Post Show Live right here on the Wild Talk Brand Network. Thursday, it's right, live, 10 p.m. Eastern, as we review the Survivor Series. Sorry, chat. Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. It's CB Radio. Sunday, it's WTR Sunday at Russell Talk Radio. 10 p.m. Eastern, so we're going to preview a little bit of Saturday night's main event. We'll be back next Monday for the Raw Post Show, live at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You support the show by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit card RocketSock or
Lynn's M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWRD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. Sunday is coming, y'all. We're going to be rolling for him this week, so tune in for that. You can also follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@LynnsWard, and you can follow me on TikTok, LynnsWard0.
This has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday for the rec. I'm right back here for the Raw Post Show every Monday night, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.